Last Sabbath, we began a short sermon series that explores the teaching of Jesus on how to live worry-free in the COVID-19 pandemic. Living free of anxiety, worry, and fear during this tumultuous time for many seems to be a difficult achievement, especially since this has been, according to an NPR news report, has been a collective, quote, collective trauma for the United States. This has been especially true for the economy and people's personal finances, as we talked last week. This collective trauma is composed of millions of individual stories of hardship and coping during this time. Recently heard a story of one story of hardship from Angelita Wynn. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Wynn or Wynn? Probably Wynn, maybe. Angelita was a school bus driver in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, until the shutdowns that occurred in March of this year due to the growing COVID-19 pandemic. But when the public school system for which she worked closed, she was abruptly and unexpectedly laid off from her job. In her words, Angelita recounted that the ensuing weeks were filled with sleepless nights and anxious days. I heard another heartbreaking story of an engaged couple who had been saving to buy a house together to begin their soon-to-be new married life. But the COVID-19 pandemic stole from them that dream. Well, at least for now. Maxwell Kirshner worked for a company. Are we getting a little feedback? Yeah, let's turn this pulpit mic off, please.
Thank you.
Maxwell Kirshner worked for a company that staged big events in New York City. Not long after the shutdowns, Maxwell was let go and his fiancée was laid off from her job too. Maxwell was able to start collecting unemployment pretty quickly because he had applied for it early enough. However, several of his coworkers were not as fortunate. Maxwell says that they're struggling to pay rent and buy food and all that. We're all in the same boat, but we're all on different seats on that boat. I'll share one more short story about the financial and emotional impact that COVID-19 pandemic has had on Americans from the perspective of the Thompson family. Will Thompson, who lives in Denver, Colorado, previously ran audiovisual services for big tech industry conferences. And he was terminated from employment in just a matter of minutes after speaking with a new client that wanted to hold a fully virtual conference with a starting budget of $200,000 to do so. That's quite a budget. The layoff was obviously a shock for him and his wife. Will was forced to apply for unemployment to help sustain his growing family through the pandemic. He said about his experience, "I've had family ask me if it was hard, you know, emotionally, applying for unemployment. My answer is no. I think if it weren't such devastating thing to everybody, it would be different." Will and his wife are expecting their first child together this fall. And because of the coronavirus, he wasn't allowed to go with his wife to a hospital checkup where they anticipated learning the baby's gender. Imagine that. Will and his wife asked their doctor to alternatively write boy or girl inside an envelope so that they could at least open it together and experience that reveal with one another. Will commented emotionally about his wife having to go for her checkup alone. "My wife is an incredibly strong woman," And she's amazing. I wish I could. And he erupted into tears in the interview I listened to. The COVID-19 pandemic has no doubt caused significant financial hardship and emotional trauma for many in our country and around the globe, for that matter. These are only a sampling of stories, true stories, mind you, of pain, fear, struggle, restlessness, worry, depression, and anxiety. The COVID-19 pandemic has taken a heavy toll on our mental and emotional health and our financial well-being. And I'm positive that there are several persons even listening to the sound of my voice right now, whether in this sanctuary or joining us online, that have similar stories of financial and emotional hardship to share resulting from this COVID-19 pandemic. How can anyone live worry-free financially and emotionally in 2020, this age of the novel coronavirus? Well, last Sabbath, we studied a portion of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6. And in that portion of that very important sermon, not my very important sermon, Jesus' very important sermon, Matthew 6, 19 through 24, Jesus taught about money and provided his listeners with a principle for not only surviving, but thriving in times of financial hardship and fretfulness. He challenged them and challenges you and me today to make God the Lord of our lives and the master of our finances. That was the first principle that Jesus set forth in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, as we discussed last Sabbath. And what this means for us, practically speaking, Jesus said, is our need to prioritize and focus all of our energies, resources, and attentions on storing up treasures in heaven, growing in character, and building relationships for the kingdom of God, just as we discussed, instead of allowing the pursuit of the accumulation of money and things to consume us. Where is your treasure? Who has your heart? Upon what are your eyes fixed? Which is your master? Now, this Sabbath, we'll study the remaining portion of Jesus' teaching on money in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And we'll learn together a second principle that Jesus lays down for living worried-free, worry-free in the COVID-19 pandemic. But before we break open the written bread of life in order to eat with the living bread of life, Jesus, let us pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word that we have to study every Sabbath together. And thank you for sending to us the person of the Holy Spirit who can illuminate and open up our minds and hearts to understand the beautiful messages, the life-changing messages, the critical messages for this time in world history. We need to understand them. But not only that, Lord, we need you to help us this morning to drop this message from your word, from our head to our heart. Help us to live it out in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Please crack open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin reading this morning with verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So here, previously in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, we read and studied together last Sabbath, Jesus challenged both his historical audience and you and me today, this present day audience, to choose our master, God or money. And if we choose rightly, that is, if we choose God as our Lord and the master of our finances, then Jesus taught, verses 25 that we just read onward, Jesus taught that we have no need to be fearful or anxious or to worry about the physical and material things pertaining to life. God cares for his dear children who have placed him on the throne of their hearts. And therefore, such persons can live life worry-free, even in times of hardship, such as the COVID-19 pandemic. You see, like any good governmental leader looks after the welfare of his or her citizens, God personally ensures the well-being of those who choose to store up their treasures in the kingdom of heaven. And like any good parent who meets the needs of their children, God our Father provides for his precious children, you and me, who he redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If we've chosen God as our attentive Father and Jesus as our interested Lord, then we have no need of working ourselves into the fretful frenzies of anxiety and worry that we so often do. If the triune God can masterfully orchestrate in design and in implementation the melodious symphony of salvation to redeem us from the power of sin and the condemnation of the end time fires of hell, then I confidently believe today that the Trinity can handle the small physical, material, and financial matters of human life, such as what we are to eat, what we are to drink, and what we are to wear. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, that life is more than these imminent goods of this transient kingdom of earth. Food, drink, clothing, money, houses, vehicles, etc. It is a joyous acquisition that is life. A joyous acquisition of the transcendent goods of the eternal kingdom of heaven. That is, holy characters and heaven-bound relationships. This life is singularly about storing up treasures in heaven. Transcendent goods that do not deteriorate, depreciate, decay, disappear. This life is not about storing up treasures on this earth, the imminent goods that are transitory, temporary, and eventually taken away. But one may wonder, how can I concern myself with the transcendent treasures in heaven when I'm struggling so much here, struggling with the imminent treasures on earth? How can I concentrate and focus on heaven when things are so bad here on the earth? Well, these questions relate to an important motivational theory in psychology pioneered by the 20th century American psychologist Abraham Maslow. Perhaps you've heard of him. His very popular motivational theory is known as Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Have you heard of that before? Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Maslow taught that human beings are motivated to behave in certain ways by a hierarchy of needs. Needs lower in the hierarchy need to be more or less met or fulfilled before those that are higher up in the hierarchy can be more or less fulfilled. So if you want to visualize with me Maslow's theory, picture a pyramid. And this pyramid is composed of various levels that advance upward hierarchically. Maslow's hierarchical pyramid of needs originally had 5 levels when he first came up with this theory, but he later developed it to include up to 8 levels. Now, the 4 base levels that form the foundation of the pyramid are constituted by what he called basic needs. First level, very bottom, biological and physical needs. These are things like air, food, water, warmth, sleep, etc. Second level, safety needs. Things such as shelter, security, order, law and stability, etc. Moving up to the 3rd level, love and belongingness needs, such as friendship, intimacy, trust, acceptance, affiliation, receiving and giving of affection, etc. And then the 4th level of the pyramid, of hierarchical pyramid, esteem needs, such as dignity, achievement, mastery, independence, reputation, respect, status, prestige, etc. The remaining top 4 levels above the basic 4 levels that lead up to the peak of the pyramid are constituted by what he called higher order needs. Level 5, cognitive needs, such as knowledge, understanding, curiosity, exploration, meaning. 6, aesthetic needs, such as beauty, balance, form. Art and music feed that need, that aesthetic need. Number 7, self-actualization needs, such as realizing personal potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth and peak experiences. And then finally, at the very top of the pyramid that forms the peak, number 8, transcendent needs, such as service to others, values and virtues and morality and ethical living, and religious faith, transcendence needs. Now, as one satisfies the lower levels of the basic needs, treasures on earth, the imminent goods of which Jesus spoke, he or she, that person, is able to move beyond those basic needs to the pursuit of satisfying the higher levels of higher order needs. That's the treasures in heaven, the transcendent goods of which Jesus spoke in Matthew 6. Thus, it seems right to ask the question, how can I concern myself with the transcendent treasures that are up in heaven when I'm struggling with the imminent treasures here on the earth? How can I be motivated to lay up treasures in heaven when I'm having a hard time laying them up here on the earth? How can I focus on things like personal character development, building meaningful relationships, serving others, and fully experiencing faith in God when I'm struggling to make ends meet financially here now? Well, this is what Jesus was precisely addressing. You know, after all, he made the human psyche. Did he not? So he's the most educated and well understanding doctor of psychology, human psychology. Jesus said here in Matthew 6 that life is more than simply meeting those first 4 levels of basic needs. It's about getting your higher order needs met. So entrust the fulfillment of the lower basic needs to him, Jesus said, and he will take care of all them. So then you don't have to worry or fret for a moment about those basic needs, because Jesus, as we say, has your back. He's got you covered. You forget your money in the line of the grocery store, your wallet's out in the car, and the next person, gentleman or lady, says, I got you covered. I'll take care of your groceries, no worries. I got you covered. That's Jesus. He's got our backs. With your basic needs in the care of Jesus, you can fear and worry free. Focus your intention on getting your higher order needs met. But some might ask, how can I be sure that Jesus will take care of my basic physical and material needs? How can I know that Jesus will supply me with needed imminent goods so that I can concentrate fully on getting my needs of transcendent goods met? Well, Jesus anticipates the objections to his teaching. And so he provides two cases of evidence. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 30, to give us confidence that he will indeed see to it that all of our needs are sufficiently supplied and satisfied. Jesus told his hearers about the birds and the lilies. The birds and the lilies. Look first at Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Some versions say a single cubit to his stature. You want evidence that Jesus will supply your needs? Look to the birds. Look at the birds. They don't need to work nearly as hard as some humans do for their money and all their stuff that they have in their air-conditioned storage units, sitting and collecting dust. And yet they don't go hungry. They have food. They have drink. God provides for the birds. And you, being his special creation that was formed by his hands and shaped by his fingers into the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God in your mother's wombs, how much more does he care about you? How much more? Later in the book of Matthew, chapter 10 of the Matthew, verses 29 through 31, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered, and mine are getting a lot easier to count these days. COVID-19, I'm telling you. This message is for me too. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows, Jesus said in Matthew 10. If he provides for the birds, he will most definitely, without a single shadow of doubt, satisfy your every need. You remember that little gospel song written over 100 years ago? By Sevilla Martin and Charles Gabriel. Why should I feel discouraged? You know it, right? Why should my heart, or why should the shadows come? I guess I don't know it. Why should my heart feel lonely? I can't hear you. And long for heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And I know he watches me. If Jesus, if God takes care of the teeniest, tiniest little birdies, he without question will provide for your needs. No doubt in my mind. And after all, what does all this worrying profit us anyways? Jesus asked that question right there in Matthew 6. How many cubits have you added to your stature? How many inches have you added to your height with anxiety? How many hours, how many years have you added to your life by worrying? How many dollars have you added to your wallet or purse by stressing out over it? How many? The more scientifically accurate question, according to medical and mental health fields today, is how many years have you taken away from your life through fear, worry, and stress? Worry gains you nothing. It is tremendously damaging in all spheres of life. Anxiety can negatively impact you mentally, emotionally, physically, socially, financially, and spiritually. Does not stressing out about things end in making them more stressful? Does not being fearful and afraid about something making it even scarier? Does not worrying cause you to make worse decisions because you're not thinking calmly and carefully and collectedly? Does not anxiety paralyze you from achieving anything? Worry, anxiety, stress, and fear only make things worse, not better. They add no value whatever to our lives. So don't worry. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't stress out. Don't be anxious. If Jesus is your Lord and your heart is with him, he has it all under control. Jesus said, look to the birds. And then he said, look to the lilies. Look to the lilies. The second piece of evidence that Jesus provided to build trust, confidence, and faith in his listeners in him is found in Matthew 6, 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? He was talking about food and drink before. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. If you want evidence that Jesus will provide for you, then look to the lilies of the field. The lilies grow effortlessly. Without 1 ounce of worry or fear. Because God is responsible for their growth. Not them. Isn't that interesting? And when they mature and blossom and bloom, what a beautiful sight they are to behold that cover the face of the earth. Jesus said that they are more beautifully arrayed than even Solomon's temple. And that is quite a comparison. Listen to the eyewitness account of the Queen of Sheba regarding the glory of Solomon and his first temple in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 through 7. The writer says, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord," that's the temple, "there was no more breath in her." Now that's being speechless. "And she said to the king, 'The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report I heard.'" Wow. Jesus said that the lilies are even more beautiful in their outward glory than that of the first temple. And here's the thing. If God cares so much about plants and vegetation that are here today and gone tomorrow, if God cares so much for the grass, as Jesus mentioned, which was thrown into the oven, which is a reference to they would back then harvest grass to fuel fire in Jesus' time, then how much more will he ensure that your basic need for clothing will be met? He will provide for you. You, who is more valuable to him than birds, than lilies, than grass. Jesus concluded, "The second piece of evidence for the care of God in the life of humans," with a gentle rebuke, at least that's how I imagine it to be, "of our deficiency of faith. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith." We're to live life in pursuit of transcendent goods by faith instead of worrying about imminent goods on this earth. Trust, not anxiety, Jesus said. Belief, not worry. Faith, not fear. Jesus counseled us to live our lives with the optimistic, that's the glass half full outlook of faith, trust, and belief in his ability and his desire to satisfy our every need, rather than that pessimistic glass half empty outlook of anxiety, worry, and fear over our financial situations. An outlook that will eventually eat out our heart and destroy us from the inside out if we allow it to. Where is your treasure? Who has your heart? Upon what are your eyes fixed? Which is your master? What is your outlook on life? Well, Jesus concluded this portion of the Sermon on the Mount with these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. That was our scripture reading for this morning. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things," these imminent goods. "And your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Being that God is omniscient, all-knowing, he is intimately acquainted with each one of our needs. Moreover, God loves us so profoundly and values us so measurelessly, as can be seen as his sending of Jesus to die on the cross for us. that God desires that all of our needs be fulfilled. Therefore, why worry about earthly treasure? Why worry about these imminent goods? Why fret over money and things? Why worry about food, drink, clothing, and the rest of our basic needs? Why worry about this transient kingdom on earth? Why? Instead, focus on what life is truly about. Heavenly treasure, transcendent goods and values, our personal character development, that's Maslow's self-actualization level 7 at the top, near the top, and the upbuilding of relationships with others, that's number 8, transcendence needs of Maslow's hierarchy. Focusing on the eternal kingdom of heaven. Live by faith, not by worry. Live by faith, not by anxiety. Live by faith, not by fear. Live by faith, not by stress. Store up treasure in heaven. Seek as your first priority, Jesus said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Aim to have the higher order needs of Maslow's hierarchy met, especially of self-actualization, character growth, and of transcendence, faith in God and service of others. And don't worry. Don't you worry. Jesus, who you've chosen to be the Lord of your life and master of your finances, will work out all the basic needs of Maslow's hierarchy in your life. Jesus said, all these things will be added to you. And that's a promise. And Jesus always keeps his promise. There's not one promise he has given that he has ever broken in the slightest bit. All these things will be added unto you. Now, lest Jesus be misunderstood, this isn't some wealth and health and prosperity gospel that Jesus is setting forth. He's not saying, I'm going to put you in a $3 million home and give you your Ferrari and your personal jet plane. That's not Jesus talking here. That's somebody else. But Jesus says, I'm going to cover your needs. You focus on what you're supposed to focus on. You turn your eyes on heaven and don't let them fall off of that place. You store up treasures there. I'll take care of the treasure down here. You won't live in a $1 million home, perhaps. You may not have that Ferrari and that Lamborghini. But you'll have a shelter. He'll provide for you. You'll have the ways of getting around that you need to get around. God will provide for you. And God always has interesting ways of doing that, doesn't he? And oftentimes, God likes to work and provide for people through his church. Through his church. I believe that. Jesus said, tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Don't be fretting over the future. Be mindful about the present, about the high order needs that you need met in your life today. Those treasures in heaven, those transcendent goods. You know, that's what Solomon did. Jesus mentioned Solomon here. That's what Solomon did as he began his reign as king of Israel. Instead of asking God to supply him with imminent goods, treasures of the earth, the basic needs of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, such as riches and long life and fame, etc., Solomon asked God for what? For wisdom, understanding, wisdom. For transcendent goods, for treasures in heaven, for the higher order needs of Maslow's hierarchy. What was God's response to Solomon's request in 1 Kings 3, 10 through 14? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, verse 11, 1 Kings 3, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked. Hey, here it is. You see that? Both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. God tells Solomon, you had your focus where it needed to be. You had it upward, on the transcendent goods. You had it on the kingdom of heaven. Wisdom you wanted. Well, I'll take care of that need. But I'll also take care of the basic needs, those lower level needs for you, so you never have to worry about those things while you're king, serving my people. Solomon asked for transcendent goods instead of imminent goods, and God supplied him with all of it. And all these things shall be added unto you. Where is your treasure? Who has your heart? Upon what are your eyes focused? Which is your master? What outlook for life will you choose? In September of 1988, 32 years ago, the first ever a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart was released. It displaced Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. Do you know what song it was? Don't know? Well, I didn't know either. I had to look this up. I'm not a pop culture buff. But here's the little song. It goes like this. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. See, you do know it. Yeah, that's right. Don't Worry, Be Happy by the American jazz vocalist Bobby McFerrin. The second part of the first verse says, in every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And then the second part of the third verse says, because when you worry, your face will frown. And that will bring everybody down. Don't worry, be happy. The truth of these lines in McFerrin's a cappella pop hit was not far off from the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. But I would alter it a little bit. Don't worry. Have faith. Don't worry. Trust Jesus. Don't worry. Have faith. Don't worry. Trust Jesus. So what does all of this mean for us living worry-free in the COVID-19 pandemic? Well, the second principle that Jesus was establishing for his disciples, that's you and me, is choosing to daily live with the positive outlook of faith, entrusting the satisfaction of all of our needs to him, instead of being eaten up from inside out by fear, worry, and anxiety. Faith, not fear. Trust, not anxiety. Belief, not worry. Yeah, times are hard in this COVID-19 pandemic. I don't want to downplay that reality. There's no doubt about it. But worry and fear only make the hardship harder and more stressful to navigate. Fear and anxiety can cause you to make decisions that will worsen your situation. Therefore, instead, Jesus said, entrust the keeping of your finances and emotional well-being to the tender care of Jesus. Commit to Him as Lord of your life, even master over your finances. That's principle one. And then choose every day the outlook of life that you will hold. Choose every day to live by faith, not by fear. Live by faith, not by anxiety. Live by faith, not by worry. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Have faith. Don't worry. Trust Jesus. Where is your treasure? Who has your heart? Upon what are your eyes focused? Which is your master? And what outlook for life will you have? If you'd like to commit with me today to try to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, a worry-free life in Jesus, turning over to Him it all, letting Him be the one to satisfy that pyramid of needs in your life. If you want to make that commitment with me today, it won't be easy. We'll fail. We're human beings. We won't get it all right all the time. Sometimes we'll slip into the old patterns of anxiety. Sometimes we'll experience some fear. But if you want to commit with me to grab a hold of the hand of Jesus and turn over the concerns of your financial situations and hardships at this time to Him, would you stand with me? Respond to Jesus physically and say, by my standing today, I'm turning it over to You, and I am choosing today to have an outlook of life by faith, not by fear and worry. I'm today living free, worry-free, in this COVID-19 pandemic because of Jesus Christ. Let's sing together hymn number 224, and that is, Seek Ye First the Kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom, 'tis your Father's will.